Blog Talk Radio.
Blessing you, and despite your circumstances and your situation, you got to realize, my brothers and sisters, that you are blessed. Well, we praise God for another wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. It is I, your host, Willie J. Van Jr., bringing you greetings from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the Northeast Corridor, to be specific. We are so appreciative for you joining us here. Reconciliation Ministries, partnering with Omega Ministry Group. We are grateful for that partnership. We thank God for the leadership of the Omega Ministry Group, Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife Tammy Storr. And we thank God for all that they do and all that they have opened up their platform, not just to me, but to many others. And we are so appreciative for that. And we thank God for each and every one of you. Well, my brothers and sisters, as we always do, we want to start off with a word of prayer because we understand that prayer is our power source. It is how we get our, well, not how we get our anointing, but it is our process of communing with God. It is one of our ways of communing with God. But we know that God has blessed us and allowed us to be able to come and talk to him and he has talked to us. So without further ado, let us go ahead and go to the throne of grace and mercy. Excuse me. We thank you, Lord God, first of all, for this day. We are so appreciative for how you blessed us and how you made a way out of no way. We thank you, Lord God, that you have allowed us to come and study your word, to look at your word, to learn more about who you are and what we are to you. We thank you for allowing us to come and learn and better our relationship with you. It is through your word. It is through our relationship with you that we know you. We know you better. We better our relationship with you. We receive grace and mercy and love. We thank you, Lord God, and we pray that this word that will go forth tonight, that it will be a blessing to someone, that it will allow people to know more about who you are and your ways and how you take care of us. We thank you, Lord God. You are so good to us, and we yet appreciate you. I just want to pray for all those who listen in the audience that might be in Texas or that region of the country where they have experienced unusual snowstorm and many are out without power. They've been without power for the last 3 days. I pray that they will, that you will restore power. Pray, Lord God, that you will allow them to feel your warmth and be able to get back to some standard of living, normal living. I pray, Lord God, for my brother Bernard. I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to heal his body. I pray for Bishop Theo Kimball. I pray that you continue to heal his body. Lord God, continue to heal my body. And Lord God, make us whole again so that we can continue to do your will. Lord God, that's all we want to do is be your servants. your sons and your servants. We thank you for all those who participate in Blog Talk Radio. We pray that you continue to bless them and continue to allow them to know you and to be used by you, and then be able to share the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the gifts that you have shared with them so that they can share with us. Oh, God, again, we just want to say thank you. We want to give you honor. We want to give you praise. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior, his name is Jesus the Christ, we say amen, amen, and amen. Again, we are so appreciative for all those who are called in live. As always, we want to let you know that this is about participatory teaching, that if you have a question or a comment, you can always press 1 on your phone, and then we will be able to address those questions. If you are listening to this in the rebroadcast, you can always send us an email at jvan91@yahoo.com. Again, J-A-Y, V as in victory, A-N-N, 91@yahoo.com. And I will definitely respond to all emails and comments or questions or whatever. Let me go and wish everybody a happy Ash Wednesday. It is Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. Today is Ash Wednesday. And I just thought that maybe it might be beneficial to do a study on what is Ash Wednesday, its significance, its originality, or where it's originated from. And if you just have any questions, I don't want to just always let me rephrase this. I always want us to be able to know more about who God is and our relationship to him. I never want us to get to a place where we do ritual or ritualistic activities just for the sake of doing them and not having any understanding on why we do it or where it came from or what's the significance. So today being Ash Wednesday, I actually almost forgot. And we understand that during this pandemic that we might not be able to go out and go to church as much or go to a church house. But we still want to uphold some of the ritualistic activities that God has established for us and in us. So today we are going to study Ash Wednesday, the significance, and what does it mean in the whole nine. Again, if you have any questions, you can press 1 on your phone. We can stop and answer questions. So the first question, and we're going to do this kind of a question and answer kind of teaching, just because I think it's better this way. I have learned that there is never a bad question or an insignificant question. So this is the way how we're going to address it. So the first question is, what is Ash Wednesday? And the response or the answer is, Ash Ash Wednesday is the day Lent begins. It occurs 40 days before Good Friday. Is Ash Wednesday based on a pagan festival? No. Ash Wednesday originated in the AD 900s, long after Europe had been Christianized and the pagan cults stamped out. Why is it called Ash Wednesday? Actually, Ash Wednesday is its colloquial name. Its official name is the Day of Ashes. So what we ought to be saying, instead of Ash Wednesday, we ought to call this the Day of Ashes. It is called Ash Wednesday because being 40 days before Good Friday, it always falls on a Wednesday, and it is always called Ash Wednesday because on that day at church, the faithful have their foreheads marked with ashes in the shape of a cross. So we understand, well, let me go ahead and read this next question and respond. Why do they have their foreheads marked with crosses? Because in the Bible, a mark on a forehead is a symbol of a person's ownership. By having their foreheads marked with the sign of cross, this symbolizes that the person belongs to Jesus Christ, who died on a cross. This is in emulation of a spiritual mark or seal that is put on a Christian in baptism when he or she is delivered from slavery to sin and made a slave of righteousness and of Christ Jesus. We have biblical scripture. We're not going to read all of it, but it is in Romans, the 6th chapter. We're going to read a little bit because we think, starting at verse 3. This is the NIV translation. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through his baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old selves are crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We shall no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mystery or mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. And then we can stop right there. So again, we understand that as Wednesday, or having this mark on your forehead is a symbolism of stating that we belong to Christ, that we are, or that, and we belong to God, that we are citizens of His Godship, we are of His kingdom. And having this cross reveals and shows to the world that our sins are now dead, just like Christ died for our sins. And because Christ died for our sins and was resurrected and given all power, because of having this cross on our forehead, means that we belong to Him, we belong to God, and that because we belong to Him, we share in the same power that He now has. It is also an imitation of the way the righteous are described in the book of Revelation, where we read, for the servants of God, the Christian faithful, has symbolized by the 144,000 male virgins. Revelation 7 and 3 says, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God upon their forehead. Revelation 9 and 4 reads, the demon locusts were not to harm the grass of the earth or any green growth or any tree, but only those of mankind who have not the seal of God upon their foreheads. So again, this shows that this seal represents the seal on our heads, or this cross on our head is a seal of God. And the last one we want to read is Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and lo, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with Him 144,000 who had His name and His Father's name written on their foreheads. This is in contrast to the followers of the beast who have the number 666 on their foreheads or hands. The reference to the sealing of the servants of God for their protection in Revelation is a allusion to a parallel passage in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel also sees a sealing of the servants of God for their protection. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4 and 6 reads, and the Lord said to him, one of the four cherubim, go through the city, through Jerusalem, and put a mark, lilietov, upon the foreheads of the men who sign and groan over the abominations that are committed in it. And to the others, he said, in my hearing, pass through the city after him and smite. Your eyes shall not spare, and you shall show no pity. Slay old men outright, young men and maidens, little children and women. But touch no one upon whom is the mark, and begin in my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the house. Unfortunately, like most modern translations, the one quoted above, which is the Revised Standard Version, is not sufficiently literal. What it actually says is to place a tavil
a tav, T-A-V, on the forehead of the righteous inhabitants of Jerusalem. Tav is one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet and an ancient script. It looked like the Greek letter cha, which happened to be two cross lines like an X, and which happens to be the first letters in the word Christ, Christos or Christo. The Jewish rabbis commented in the connection between Tav and Cha, and this is undoubtedly the mark Revelation has in mind when the servants of God are sealed in it. The early church fathers seized on this day Christos connection and compounding it their homilies. Again, we understand that having this cross on our foreheads symbolizes the seal that we belong to God. The next question: why is the signing done with ashes? Because ashes are a biblical symbol of mourning and penitence. In biblical times, the custom was to fast, wear sackcloth, sit in dust and ashes, and put dust and ashes on one's head. While we no longer normally wear sackcloth or sit in dust and ashes, the custom of fasting and putting ashes on one's forehead as a sign of mourning and penitence has survived to this day. These are two of the key distinctives of Lent. In fact, Ash Wednesday is a day not only for putting ashes on one's forehead, but it's also a day of fasting. You know what? What we're going to do, we have a lot more. And again, we are just referencing and talking about the significance of Ash Wednesday. Again, we never want anyone to participate in some ritualistic activity and not have a understanding of what's the meaning or why are we doing this. So we need to get to the place where we are doing the will of God, that we are sealed, or we show the world that we are sealed by his love, that we are his children. What we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break. We thank God again for all those who are part. We're going to play this song, a song by Ty Tribbett. And just listen, go get yourself some water, some lemonade, some tea, and we'll be right back. That's right. Jesus ought to be everything to you. Your relationship with God ought to mean everything to you. I can share now. Just as a side note, we know that we just celebrated Valentine's Day. And I thought I was going to go in another direction with the teaching tonight, but I just want to share with everybody that despite the fact if you had a Valentine's or not, you have to make sure that you realize that God loves you. Now, I'm not trying to spiritualize or not say that we don't need or we should not receive love from mankind. But we should never put that love of mankind over the love of God. And we talked about that last week where we talked about the type of love that God has for us. And even to today on this study of Ash Wednesday, that today begins the day of Lent. We got to know there's no love better than the love of God. All right. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. And maybe God will allow me to share more next week. But again, what we've gone over so far is that Ash Wednesday literally should be called the Day of Ashes. That this is it originated around the 900 AD era, and we understand that Ash Wednesday is always 40 days before Good Friday, and that when we go and allow someone, the priest, namely, or the minister, or the pastor, or the whatever, or elder, to put a cross on our foreheads, that it represents, one, that we now belong to God, and we are no longer held by the penalties of sin. Also, it shows a sign of repentance and sacrifice, that it shows that we are sorrowful for having this sin a part of our lives, but we are grateful that God allowed our Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And now this shows to the whole world that we belong to Him. We stopped off and we said that also that putting the ashes on someone's forehead, it also symbolizes a time of mourning and a time of repentance. And again, I'm going to share with you some biblical scriptures or biblical examples of people putting ashes and on their forehead. That same day, a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Verse 12. It says, that same day, a Benjamite
ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh, his clothes torn and dust on his head. In 2 Samuel, and again, these are all examples of people putting dust or ashes on their forehead. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20, it reads, On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and with dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honor. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19, Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the ornaments robe she was wearing. She put her head in her head and went away, weeping aloud as she went. And in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 32, when David arrived at the summit where people used to worship God, Hushiah, the Achanite, was there to meet him, his robe torn and dust on his forehead. So again, all of these are examples of people putting dust or ashes on their head, and they're doing it for the sake of mourning or repentance. The next question, is there another significance to the ashes? Yes, they also symbolize death, and so reminds us of our mortality. Thus, when the priest used his thumb to sign one of the faithful with ashes, he said, "Remember, man, that thou art dust, and into dust thou shalt return," which is a model after God's address to Adam in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, in Psalm chapter 90, verse 3, and Ecclesiastes 3 and 20. This also echoed the words at a burial, ashes to ashes, dust, which is based on God's word to Adam in Genesis 3 and Abraham's confession, "I am nothing but dust and ashes." That's Genesis chapter 18 and 27. It is thus a reminder of our mortality and our need to repent before this life is over and we face our judgment. Where do the ashes used on Ash Wednesday come from? They are made of burning palms, which have been saved from the previous year's Palm Sunday. They are then blessed by priests. Blessed ashes having been used in God's rituals since the time of Moses, and that The ritual can be found in Numbers chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, and verse 17. And it's the next question. Why are ashes from the previous year's Palm Sunday used? Because Palm Sunday was when the people rejoiced at Jesus' triumphant entry to Jerusalem. They celebrated his arrival by waving palms, little realizing that he was coming to die for their sins. By using palms from Palm Sunday, it is a reminder that we must not only rejoice at Jesus coming, but also regret the fact that our sins made it necessary for him to die for us in order to be saved us from hell. So that brings significance, that we don't just celebrate his life, but we do celebrate the death, and we are we are regretful, we are
sorry, I guess, for the lack of a better word, and remorseful, because he didn't die for his sins. He died for our sins. Is having one's forehead signed with ashes required of the faithful? No, it is not a requirement. However, it is to be strongly encouraged, as it is a fitting and visual spiritual reminder that encourages one to adopt an attitude of prayer, repentance, and humility. In James 4, chapter 10, James says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." It's Ash Wednesday, a holy day of obligation. That is a day in which we are required to go to church. No, it is not a holy day of obligation. However, it is strongly advisable, since it is fitting to mark the beginning of a season of Lent, by going to church. The formal corporate worship of God is a good way to get a good start to the season. Also, even though it is not a holy day of obligation, it is a day of fast and abstinence. So again, we understand we don't get caught up in the ritualistic ways or necessity, and you're not going to go to hell if you don't participate in Ash Wednesday. We know a lot of people probably were not able to do it today due to the pandemic. But it does not mean that just because you didn't do it, that you ought not have an attitude of remembrance, an attitude of repentance, an attitude of humility, and that you will have an attitude of sacrifice. We understand that Lent season is the season where we have decided to sacrifice pleasure, or we've done some physical sacrifice. Not that we have to prove to God, because God already knows us and knows our heart, but it is a time of where we submit, or we give up, and then we submit our life, our time, to more prayer, to more reading, to more better understanding, more humility, and more trust in God. I know during this Lent season, which again, Ash Wednesday is the beginning, that a lot of people will Lent from food, or they will Lent from looking at TV or listening to the radio or music or certain things. And it's not just the fact that we have to give up something, but that whatever we're giving up, that we substitute it with something that's biblical and something that is going to bring us into a better relationship with God. It does us no good to Lent or sacrifice chocolates or candy when we're not going to spend that time or spend more time with God talking about how our bodies are living temple for His Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit, how we are to sacrifice and our bodies so that we can be used by Him to do things that He have called us to do. If you're going to just stop eating food, then you're not doing anything more than just having a diet. But it is when you just sacrifice and you give up something and replace that with some biblical task or
duty. So it is good for us to understand, again, what Ash Wednesday is all about, or as we should call it, the Day of Ashes, that it is a day where it is the beginning of our Lent season. It is 40 days before Good Friday that we understand that it is a seal or a sign, rather, to the world that we belong to God, that our sins are dead because Jesus Christ died on the cross. And now, because he has resurrection power, he has transferred that power to us. And that now we realize that not only as the cross being a symbolism to the world that we are sealed of God, but it also means that we take this time of prayer, of humility, of repentance, that we are mournful that Christ had to die on the cross for our sins, but we are grateful that he did, because now there's no need for us to sacrifice anything or do any ritualistic sacrifices, rather. But he, Jesus Christ, is the ultimate sacrifice. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for allowing your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for what he has done. We thank you for actually how he has now given us power and authority through the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, allow us to walk in that anointing and in that power to show the world that you are alive and doing well, that there is nothing too hard for you to do, and there's nothing too hard for us to do as long as we stay in a line with your will for our lives. We pray that during this season of Lent, that we will make a sacrifice, that we will put away or set aside or put away things that bring us pleasure, and that we will now substitute those things for you, that you will now occupy that space of pleasure, that you will occupy that thing that takes our time away. Lord God, we again are so grateful. We pray that you continue to watch over us, continue to lead and guide us. We give you honor. We give you praise. And everything we say and do, we say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, again, we just wanted you to not just go through another Ash Wednesday and not know or understand the significance of Ash Wednesday, but now you know. So now you can participate with a better understanding. And that's all we want you to do, is have a better understanding. Again, we ask that you will please tune in on Monday's night. We have Dr. Jesse Store with his wife Tammy Store at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. From 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, we have Minister Leah Killings. On Wednesday nights, it's yours truly, Willie J. Van Jr. And then we thank God. That's from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, we have great, great, mighty man of God, Jason Felix. We thank God for him. We praise God for how God is using him to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And then on Thursday night, we have Bishop George Flint from 8 to 9. And then on Sundays from, I want to say, 5 to 6, Minister Joseph Amos Collins. We are so appreciative for each and every one of you all. Again, continue to pray for one another, and we continue to pray for you. And we're going to go out with this song. We pray many blessings upon you and always peace and love, Willie J. Van Jr. Don't forget to call back in at the 9 o'clock hour for the mighty man of God, Jason Felix, out of the Detroit area. I know he got a word for you, so don't forget to call back in. Peace and love, J. Van.
I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, oh Lord, I gotta have you. I gotta have you.